like an animal, talks like an animal, must be an animal. Come hear the animal, talking animal, talking animal. Talks like an animal, must be an animal. Come hear the animals, talking animals, talking animals.
Good morning. This is Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss. And before we go any further, having just concluded our fall fun drive and seconds before we hit the NPR news, we made our goals. So thank you, one and all, who donated for this last week or so. Yay, yay, yay. And of course, I want to thank everyone who pledged in support of Talking Animals last Wednesday. We're just really excited, really appreciative. We may even have some other good news to report over the course of this show about some donations that may have come in after we signed off at the end of the finale just moments ago. Meanwhile, my guest today is Dr. Jillian Johnson, a chiropractor and owner of Farmhouse Chiropractic. To put this another way, Johnson, Dr. J, as she is known, is an animal chiropractor. Well, she's a human chiropractor, too. Her slogan is chiropractic care for you and the horse you rode in on. And while horses are clearly central to her practice, she also treats dogs, cats, pigs, and other animals. She's undergone extensive training to arrive at this rarefied position. Indeed, she is one of only about 1,300 doctors that are board certified by the American Veterinary Chiropractic Association, a national certification only veterinarians and chiropractors are eligible for. We'll hear about how she decided to enter the specialized realm of chiropractic medicine, some of the differences involved in adjusting a horse or a dog as opposed to a human patient, and more when I speak with Dr. Jillian Johnson in a few moments here on Talking Animals. Also later, I'll speak with Jamie Monfra, owner of Service Learning School, which is gearing up for its annual Halloween event that raises funds for the Humane Society of Pinellas County. Meanwhile, let's get to Dr. Johnson, Dr. J, with the reminder that I invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663, emailing dj at wmnf.org, or texting 813-433-0885. This is Dr. Jillian Johnson.
Good morning.
I'm talking. Good morning, Dr. J. So happy to have you in studio. So rare that I get to be across from my guests. Actually, have eye contact and real conversational things. So thanks for coming in this morning. And again, thanks for kind of rolling with all the madness as we finished up our fall fun drive, but on a triumphant note, thankfully.
Absolutely. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you.
Now, a practice that includes treating animals places you, as I've kind of noted in the introduction, in a pretty rarefied contingent of chiropractors. And so in a moment or two, we'll explore some of the training and other elements of your career path that has placed you in that pretty singular line of work. But right now, let's talk a little bit about animals have meant to you. Where did you grow up and how important were animals to your family when you were a kid?
Oh boy, okay, so I have an interesting story. I grew up all around the world. My dad is in international construction. So we moved about every 2 years all around the world. And animals were always very important to my family. We've always volunteered. Growing up, I have a half-sister, but we didn't grow up together. So pretty much as an only child, animals were always my friends. And that's kind of where my passion for animals started. I started horseback riding when I was 2 years old in South Africa, and it just went from there. It was always, I thought I was going to be a vet. I thought it was going to be something with animals, you know, something always towards working with animals, volunteering with them. That's every job I've ever had is centered around animals and our love for them.
Okay, so I hate to have started the interview and then interrupt it, but let's just thank some folks that the pledge. We got Miss Julie here, some last-minute pledges that rolled in, and then we will get back to our interview with Dr. J. Sorry, Dr. J, just hang tight. We got more questions galore for you.
We're glad you're here. It's good to see you. Tim Anderson has walked in a $1,000 pledge.
Oh, my God.
He's getting an event pass for two in the name of Anderson & Anderson, so that's second pass is for Two Tim's Law, and he's supporting the Monday Morning Show and Amy Snyder's traffic jam on Thursday.
Nice. And then we've got Ed. I can only use his first name. You'll have to interrogate me to get the rest of it out of it. But he is from Bradenton, and he's made a nice $100 pledge and taking the WNF Fall T-shirt. So thank you, Ed. You want me to go with these others? Okay,
oh, sure.
So all right. So we got Tracy Smith from Brandon supporting Talking Animals, no less. And in the comments, says best radio station around. So joining Circle of Friends at $10 per month for a pledge amount, of course, of $120. And Laura Vargas from Palm Harbor with a nice $100 pledge and saying, just heard that WFTV is going off the air. We cannot let our community radio go off the air. We must support us indeed. So thank you very kindly. Miss Julie, was there anybody else to thank? Or?
Amen. I would say I thank chiropractors because they crack me up.
Okay, well, yes. There you go. We got chiropractor humor. Come on, no extra charge. Okay, so Dr. J, sorry about that interruption. So one thing you said, though, in the answer before we needed to thank those folks that I found interesting and not surprising in some ways, is did I understand you to say that you started horseback riding at 2 years old?
I did.
Yeah. Wow.
My mother
was
actually...
What was that
actually...
like? It was like, hey, kid, get up there and good luck? Or
In typical me fashion, my mother was taking lessons and I kind of wandered away and decided I was going to jump on a horse myself. So my mom goes, oh, okay, I guess we should start lessons. So... pretty headstrong from the beginning.
And then I take it, based on what you've done subsequently, and we'll get into some of the specifics of that path, that it was pretty much love at first sight when you said, hey, I'm going to get on this horse as a two-year-old. You've kind of stayed on the horse ever since.
That's it. Yeah. That's it. It's been like that with animals my entire life. It's just a passion for me, and it's something that I've always wanted to be able to help. And I'm grateful for what I do.
Along the way, it sounds like you're an animal lover, which, not surprising, many people on the show are. But it also sounds like you might feel a particular kinship with horses.
Horseback riding is definitely my sport of passion, but I'm not particular. I have two dogs, got a cat. I've had a potbelly pig in the past. Everywhere we've moved, I was always the, you know, being the only child wandering off going, you know, we were in Puerto Rico and I'd be at the neighbors and I'd bring back a chicken or I'd bring back a, you know, a rabbit. And it's just always been this love of all creatures, great and small.
And so as part of that kind of sounds like very nomadic childhood lifestyle, was it always animals that kind of helped you? It's like, hey, I'm moving to a new place. I don't have any friends when I first get here, but I've got my cat or dog or occasionally potbelly pig or whatever it might be.
Absolutely. I think that's very deep rooted in what it was. And, you know, being the new kid all the time, I'm great with new places and, you know, I wouldn't change my growing up for the world, but it was always, you know, the animals were always there. The horseback riding was always there. I could always go, you know, forget about the day and go ride my horse and, you know, get over whatever was hard about a new school or something.
So you had those kind of fixtures to sort of grab onto when you were like starting over again. How often were those moves taking place?
About 2 to 3 years. So
wow.
My dad works in international construction. So it goes from hotels and building Ritz-Carltons to building banks to building U.S. embassies. So it just depends on the duration of the time that we're there and what
the project
building.
Mm-hmm. Itself. And then once it's completed, okay, pack up. We're
there
going
we go
somewhere totally different now.
Absolutely.
Wow. Now, as an adult, do you find that you want to stay put? Like, have you lived the same place for some time or have you kind of echoed that those formative years?
I really thought that was going to be it. I mean, I can't tell you. My mother's probably laughing right now that I'm like, I'm moving to the States. You know, because that's what we called it. And I'm never moving and I'm going to have one house and that's not it. I've got to change the house. I've got to change the walls. And so a mobile practice for me is perfect because I'm not a brick and mortar kind of person standing in the same office every day. My office is different every single day. The cases are different. The people are different. The animals are different. And that's what is personally my dream job.
Let me let folks know that might just be tuning in. This is Talking Animals. We're back to regular programming at WMF after finishing our fall fun drive again on a triumphant note just minutes ago. I'm Duncan Strauss. And if you did just tune in, my guest is Dr. Jillian Johnson, a chiropractor who treats horses, dogs, and other animals, humans too. And if you'd like to ask Dr. J, as she's known, a question about chiropractic treatment of animals or humans, I suppose, or offer a comment just generally, please call 813-239-9663. Email dj@wmnf.org or text 813-433-0885. So we get the animal thing and the horse thing that started at two, but try to kind of trace the path for me a little bit, if you could, of how you decided to become a chiropractor in particular.
Absolutely. So I was 9 years old. We were living in Jamaica. And per usual, I was at the, you know, the horse barn and my horse had a really bad rear leg injury. As you can imagine, horses being 12 to 1,500 pounds, when they're not putting weight on one foot, you can imagine what it does to the rest of their body. So, you know, it wasn't a chiropractic issue per se because of the rear leg injury. But after her limping around for months, it became one. And we watched her pelvis become unlevel. We watched her muscles start to atrophy and her to have a lot of pain. And my dad, he loves to surf. That's his passion. Had a friend that was a chiropractor. And I'm sure he was sitting there telling him, you know, all the vet bills and all the things we were doing for this horse. And he goes, well, I treat I treat horses. Why have I not looked at him? You know, he's my dad's chiropractor. And he came out and he adjusted my horse and I was in awe. And then he adjusted me and that was it. And it was like, this makes so much sense. And that's what people don't really put together is horse and rider, you know? And that's what I love about what I do and what makes me different is because I can come out there and your horse can have an imbalance, but guess what? You probably do too. And
because since I'm not a rider, maybe it's sort of a simpleton kind of question. Is it likely that the human's out of balance because they've adjusted to how the horse is out of balance? Or just because humans often are out of balance regardless?
It goes both ways.
Okay.
So I personally have a horse that's very right dominant. So I have to get adjusted, my personal self, to keep me centered
because
and
you're,
adjust him.
Because you're adjusting
right.
for the horse's tilt kind of or dominance.
Absolutely. And people, you know, this whole thing with chiropractic, people think you have to be out to need an adjustment. That's not necessarily true. Chiropractic adjustment is good on a wellness base because it is good for your spine. So how is it good for your spine? Your spine, the way that it nourishes itself is through motion. Whenever there's a segment that's not moving, then you're not getting nutrition into that disc. So that doesn't necessarily manifest as pain right off the bat. That's something that later, pain, people think that pain is the first presentation. Pain is usually one of the last presentations. So when I tell people getting adjusted on a regular basis is preventative, it's wellness care, it's good for you so you don't get to the point where one of you is hanging off the horse on one side or you have back pain.
So let's fill the gap between at nine, mm-hmm. right? The guy say, hey, how come I haven't looked at the horse and how come I haven't looked at Jillian? And that's what happened. And it sounded like a light bulb went off. But even the most precocious kid at nine doesn't necessarily, with the light bulb go off, say, okay, well, I'm going to tomorrow start training to become a chiropractor. How did those next stages come together?
So it's not a very common profession. So, of course, there's two ways you can do this. You become a vet or you can become a chiropractor. So I was like, I love animals. I'll go the vet school route. So then from then on, it was shadowing vets. It was being a vet technician, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then when I fast forward to, you know, going to college, I talked my parents into sending me to boarding school because I needed that high of an education because I wanted to get to vet school. I've always known what I wanted to do. Got into Texas A&M University, got there, and I worked at Texas A&M University as a surgery tech in the neurology department, which is all back surgeries, which is kind of ironic. And it just wasn't for me. And I kept pushing myself through it, thinking, you know, this is an end goal, and it just didn't set right with me. And then I decided that to look into chiropractic, and I was still getting chiropractic care, but my love for animals was always greater and than necessarily the chiropractic for humans. And then I started to put it together and I started to see the wellness side of it. And I started to explore options. And then I decided that going to chiropractic school would be more fulfilling for me personally, because I would gain a greater understanding about the chiropractic adjustment. And it would be, if that's what I was going to solely focus on, then I would be better at that one thing. And that's kind of where it led me to chiropractic over vet school. And vet school is a lot of surgeries and stuff that's, I would have a million dogs in the back of my house because people couldn't afford surgeries and I wouldn't want to put them down. I just, my
right.
heart, you know.
It also sounds like the experience when you were nine was profound, that it really stuck with you and in some pivotal moments later, it kind of guided you.
Absolutely. No, that was the moment. I mean, it was an aha moment. This is all I wanted to do. You know, and like I said, there was options, chiropractic or vet school, to the same end goal.
Interesting. When did you say, okay, vet thing, not quite working out, chiropractic maybe is the answer? How long ago did you undertake that training?
It was always a back and forth for me, but I was kind of always on the pre-vet route and didn't really want to switch out. And then I think I was my sophomore year and I kind of just did some soul searching and I went and I shadowed a chiropractor and had another aha moment, loved it. And it's instead of like where I was sitting there learning about surgeries and stressing over stuff that I would never do, I was like, this makes so much more sense. It just, I didn't ever have someone, because it's a rare profession, say, you know, hey, this is a way to go. Everyone was like, oh, you have to go through vet school, which would have made my life easier now, because I do have to have a vet referral to touch any animal. So that's another thing that I have to go through.
That's interesting. So as a chiropractor, obviously treating animals, which is in large part why you're here.
Yes.
But to do that every time, there has to be some sort of referral from a vet to authorize you to adjust that animal?
It's not every time for an adjustment, but every time for that animal for a particular issue. So if you were to call me and say, hey, my dachshund's having a little bit of issues getting around, he's having low back pain, then I say, okay, great, Duncan, here's my form. Get your vet to send it over to me. And in that time, your vet and I can talk about anything that I need to avoid or contraindications or anything, you know, history on your animal. And then I'm free to treat them for a period of time until there's another issue.
I see. But the initial thing for any new animal does require that. What is the thinking just to make sure nothing
isn't a chiropractic issue? So vets, you think about the vet school versus chiropractic school. You know, for people, we are trained to rule out pathologies and diagnose. For chiropractic, we have a very good foundation of vet issues and stuff like that, but we didn't do 4 years of it. And okay. So that's for, you know, if you come in with low back, it could be anything. You know, it's just not always a chiropractic issue. So the vet is there for the best interest of your animal and therefore can rule out other pathologies and say, yes, it's a skeletal, musculoskeletal issue. This is a chiropractic issue. And then we go forward with that.
Okay. How many years is that training, the chiropractic training?
The human chiropractic training?
Yeah.
It's 4 years.
Okay.
So that's another thing most people don't know. So I had to have a 4-year degree, a bachelor's of science. And then it was another 4 years. And we do trimesters, not semesters. So, and we do about 30 credit hours a trimester. So it's not a light endeavor, which most people think it is. So it is a 4-year degree.
Were you in this area when that?
I did. Yeah. Our school is actually called National University of Health Sciences. It's located in Chicago or outside of Chicago. But they have a satellite campus down here in Pinellas Park. And they're opening that. They just opened a new clinic. So it was a great, for me, being from Texas, I was ready for a change, being nomadic. And I said, why not go to the beach and be the tan one, right? Take my dog to the beach. I can afford that as a student. So we came down here and I absolutely love Florida.
And so nomadic tendencies notwithstanding that are sort of almost
well, now
genetic.
Now I get a different office every day. So that's holding me down as far as my nomadic tendencies.
But you
moment.
Actually live in the same residence.
Yes.
And so those nomadic things are sort of
a little bit settling down.
So let's talk more than you've been trained. As a human chiropractor, or just a chiropractor, I guess you could say more simply. Now, a lot of people that have heard this conversation thus far know that part of the reason we're having this conversation is that you're an animal chiropractor as well. Might imagine that animal chiropractic care is a new field, but as we've already established, I guess a little bit with your story about having that experience with the horse when you were 9. So I guess it's not all that new, but when did it actually start?
It's been around. I mean, the thing is, it's just poorly regulated, unfortunately. It's been around since the first chiropractic adjustment. You know,
doing animals was commonplace right away?
The founder of chiropractic, D.D. Palmer, worked on animals. It's the belief that chiropractic is good for anything with a spine. You know, it's not necessarily the human spine. It's anything with a spine and joints and extremities. It's becoming a lot more popular now. I think our millennials are centered around wellness, so they're seeing it for their animals as well. But, you know, this is another reason I wanted to be on the show is because there's a lot of people without the proper training because it's poorly regulated. So chiropractors did the animal chiropractic program, and then they started doing these weekend certifications to teach the layperson how to adjust their animal, which devalues our profession. You know, imagine how long I've been in school and you're going to learn it in a weekend.
Yeah.
So
stop insulting me.
Yeah. Right. But it's not what's best for your animal. And so these people are around in our community saying that they're quote unquote animal chiropractors. Well, you're not going to ask the certification because you're not aware of the certifications that are available.
Right.
So you're going to say, hey, I heard so-and-so is a great chiropractor. They're going to come out there and they don't have the extensive knowledge that we do. And unfortunately, they're giving us a bad name because then the vets are going, these crazy chiropractors are out there. Here we go around. And you know, chiropractic's already got the best, you know, face value anyway. So here we go with this back and forth. And it's not really the trained professionals that are getting this bad rap. It's people that do not have the proper education and certification.
Jeez, that sounds tricky. And I mean, because it seems like if someone's treating an animal, a lot of times that's going to be, well, depending on the animal, but certainly a horse, whatever, it's going to be outside somewhere. So if you think, well, I did hear about this animal chiropractor, not you, Dr. J, but I'm just saying, but back to your example, if I did hear about them and they were, you know, came out to this barn or this field or there was some other animal, yeah, I think it'd be interesting to think how many people would say, well, let me see your credentials
not
or
anyone.
Your degree.
Nobody does.
Right? Because if
problem.
It gets that
yeah.
far,
you've already
probably
booked
already,
appointment, right?
Yeah, and you've
good.
Already decided, hey, they're going to help my animal.
Them, they're going to help my animal, you know, and that's the problem. You don't. No one walks into their cardiologist's office and said, "Let me see your degree."
Yeah,
and that's fine.
Right.
But
although
you know,
that's more inherently legit if they're a cardiologist or an MD.
Right.
Probably your own doctor referred them. Let's say, or but
exactly.
at least you know they went to medical school and they have the training to ostensibly.
This is my biggest competition because these people are out there. They don't have certification. They don't have education, and they're performing spinal manipulations for a fraction of the cost, and it's all cash. That, you know, the things I tell people, whether you use me or you don't, you need a vet referral. If they're not a vet, you need a vet referral. If they don't ask you for that, that's red flag number one.
Mm-hmm.
If they only take cash, that's red flag number two. If they don't give you any documentation or records, here we go down the line. With my clients, they get, it's called Kavanti. It's a really cool app that I use that sends them a medical record, basically, and it has a skeleton. And it shows them what I did. You know, because I can say, oh, this and this and this, and, you know, that doesn't make a lot of sense when we're out there and, you know, moving the horse around and stuff. Like, you'll get a report that says what you said, what I saw, what I think we should do. Your vet will get the exact same report, and it'll be a skeleton. I can circle on it. It shows, you know, the different ways that joints move. So if I said, oh, you know, your C3 is moved, you're like, okay, what is that? So here's this visual aid for you to see that this bone or this joint has moved in this malposition right here, and this is exactly how.
By the way, and just in case people may have just tuned in again, this is Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss. My guest is Dr. Jillian Johnson, a chiropractor who treats animals and humans and operates a mobile service called Farmhouse Chiropractic. We invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663, emailing dj@wmnf.org, or texting 813-433-0885. And it does occur to me, with some of our phones being switched to the fund drive, if they could be switched back if they haven't been already, so we could get and place calls in the studio, that would be awesome. Thank you. So that sounds like a huge thing that's hard to mitigate, other than you talking about it here.
That's
but I
why
just
I'm
mean
here.
It's
yeah,
right.
Education.
But I mean, it sounds like such a widespread thing. Is there legislation or something else that can actually really address this on a more significant scale?
I'm in the process of trying to make my way as a lone little animal chiropractor up to the legislation. So because vets can do it, they have the power, but they are not necessarily willing to share the power all the time, and they want to move it towards a veterinary issue more than like a human chiropractic issue. So they have the money and the funds, and then the chiropractors, not all of them are interested in animal chiropractic. So you don't have this band of, you know, you have the American Veterinary Chiropractic Association, and they're great, and they're kind of where that's the school and the board certification I have, and they're very small voice compared to the money and the power behind the vets, but they have other issues. So there really isn't this pushing force to regulate our field. So that's why I'm here, is I want to educate and I want to spread the word so people have at least have an informed idea of what they're getting themselves into.
That's interesting. So, because it seems like from what you earlier outlined, there's generally, I would have thought, a good sense of cooperation between the vets and the chiropractors. But when you said, hey, you need a referral, whatever. But it sounds like I jumped too soon into that conclusion, and it sounds like it's much more competitive.
Because our veterinarians
who think, hey, well, that's great to get all that training, but we don't really need a chiropractor here when I could see this patient.
There's a little bit of everything going on. So you have some usually older practitioners that don't really believe in chiropractic. So you have those are one group. And then you have others that, well, they're like, well, I'll just get the certification and I don't want to send out, because they've had bad experiences with chiropractors that have been like, oh, well, I can cure this and I can cure that. Don't go back. And that's where having the conversation that I have with a lot of the veterinarians that I work with is, I am your biggest advocate. I'm going to see that animal maybe on a more regular basis than you will. I'm going to say, hey, he needs a nail trim. Hey, there's a lump here. Here's a bump here. I want to stay in my lane. And that's what's caused this kind of confusion and this, it's not a rift, but it's very difficult to build these relationships because they've been burned in the past. They've had people that weren't chiropractors calling them. They've had people that didn't stay in their lane.
So the vets have been burned. So they're kind of in that once bitten, twice shy kind of framework.
Absolutely. So why would you do that? Because you have an established patient and that patient trusts you. So if you're going to send out, you better know they're going somewhere that, you know, is going to take care of them, have their best interest in mind.
But I would think that as they forge a relationship with someone like you that's got the training, got the credentials, got everything, that would ease any concerns that they would have.
Absolutely.
And so therefore that would be a flourishing relationship.
Getting the relationship is always the hardest part
for me.
I'm tenacious. I'm knocking on doors. I'm like, we're going to talk about it whether you want to or not.
Right.
The vets that I work with, I've had no issues with. They will gladly refer to me. You know, I have most of their numbers in my phone. If I see something, you know, I'm like, hey, do you want me to send them to you? Like, you know, what do you want me to do? We have great relationships. It's just moving forward, getting this awareness out there that people can build these kind of relationships.
So let me back up a little bit. Excuse me. We'll come back to some of this in a moment. We've gotten a couple of email questions that we'll get to as well. So when you decided, okay, I'm going to get the additional training to treat animals, what was that program like in terms of length and the kind of coursework you did relative to the initial training that you got to become a chiropractor in the first place?
So I chose, there's a couple schools out there that you can choose to do that are eligible for the American Veterinary Chiropractic Association for you to take the board test. I chose Parker University. It's a chiropractic college in Texas. I chose them because they had a chiropractic Foundation. I went there as a very well-run program. It was weekends for 6 months, and you're there on Thursday night, and then you start, I mean, you're doing 12 to 14-hour days, you're testing, you're hands-on experience, and then you do 6 months of that, and then you go and you sit for your board exam. And we have follow-up education, continuing education, just like any other medical profession. So I have mine for my human chiropractic, and I have mine for animal chiropractic, where you have to have so many continuing education hours to keep you up to date, to keep you learning and always. And I mean, it's a passion of mine. I buy veterinary anatomy books for in my spare time.
Okay, so, you sound like a lot of fun,
yeah,
Dr. Johnson.
I'm really
yeah.
fun.
Okay.
So that's, you know, it's just a continuing education.
And so when you were having that training, what was your sense of how it compared? Like how different or similar was it to the training you had had earlier to become a human chiropractor?
It was really extensive. I loved it. There's some moment. It's funny because it's set for vets and for human chiropractors. And so we kind of have to go through, like, we have to waddle through some of the veterinary stuff that we're not familiar with. And they have to, like, muddle through the history of chiropractic. So there's some moments where you're sitting there, like, falling asleep. And then the rest of it is great. And it's awesome because you get to talk to veterinarians and then you guys get to kind of build these relationships. So those are the veterinarians in the future that you're going to have those relationships with to call and be like, hey, what do you think about this? Would this offend you if I called you and asked you, can I build a relationship with you like that? And, you know, they helped us with the veterinarian side and the pathologies and the red flags. And then we helped them feeling things and understanding what the chiropractic adjustment was. But it's a very thorough program. I recommend it to anyone and everyone that that calls me asking about it. It's seamless. There's pathology. There's a little bit. We don't do a ton of pharmacology, but just so that we're aware of what the patient's on, we go into that. We go into joint biomechanics, into gait. We have a dentist come in. We have a farrier, so those that do the feet come in for animals. We have some other. I mean, it's really all encompassing. I would highly, highly recommend it.
So if I follow you, so the people that are in that training are either chiropractors like yourself or veterinarians?
Mm-hmm. That's the only ones that are eligible for this.
Right. The national certification. You'd have to be one or the other. You couldn't just say, hey, I'm thinking I might try to be a animal guy. I just walk off the street.
Exactly.
You'd have to have at least one or the other of those amount of training degrees, et cetera, to even be eligible for the training that's specific for animal chiropractic.
Correct.
Okay. Well, that sounds at least like in that realm, then at least we're getting specialized, careful
exactly.
training, and the people that it's producing are—you would never have to be concerned. Like,
correct?
Do I want them touching my
exactly.
animal or not?
So, yeah. You can also find if you go on to the American Veterinary Chiropractic Association website. There's a Find a Doc, and you can look up doctors that are certified in your area. So, if there's anybody listening from outside of Tampa, then that's what I always recommend people do is to look on that website, and that'll give you a good indication of if your doctor is certified or not.
Again, we're speaking with Dr. Jillian Johnson. Her practice is called Farmhouse Chiropractic. It's a mobile practice, and there's a website, farmhousechiropractic.com. So, because one of the questions we got from one of our emailers is, where does Dr. Johnson practice? But it seems like, are you sort of in and around Tampa Bay? I mean, since it's mobile,
I stay about 100-mile radius outside of Tampa. It just depends on what I'm doing. If it's for one dog, it's probably not feasible for me to travel to the other coast.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a whole barn and horseback riders, then I'll make a day of it. And that's the beauty of my business. We've done some of the dog shows. We've done horse shows, you know, in the state of Florida where I'm licensed. And, you know, I've done the AKC dog show over in West Palm Beach, and that was great. And it was an office for 3 days, you know, and that's the beauty of what I do.
Yeah. So it just varies. And so from day to day, within reason, anything's possible as far as where a call might come in and say, hey, we need you.
Mm-hmm.
What are the kind of commonplace calls or the ailments, let's say, that prompt the calls to you? Are there
there's definitely some common ones.
Yeah.
So we have different animals and different ailments that we treat. I always advise people to start before there's a problem, but the majority of us is, you know, we'll get senior dogs. They're having trouble getting around, the arthritis, they're already on medication and it's just not helping them. So we have a lot of senior dogs, senior pets, senior cats, a lot of disc dogs and cats. I have a lot of athletes so that understand that the horses are athletes. They're jumping 5 feet every three times a week. So they understand that they're going and putting that stress on their bodies. So they're on a 4 to 6 week, they get adjusted almost no matter what. Hind end issues, you know, the vets checked it out and they're like, they can't figure out what's wrong, or it's, you know, they're like, oh, it's musculoskeletal, it'll go away. That's me. I help it go away.
Okay.
You know, and people are like, oh, chiropractic for animals, that's so ridiculous. Well, once you see your animal as an athlete and at their repetitive stress or whatever they're doing, in the upper levels, or even in, you know, you're just riding around your arena, you're asking them to do things over and over and over again. If you look at any NFL pro team, they have a chiropractor. So what makes it different for your personal athlete?
When it's a variety of animals, again, it sounds like predominantly horses, but I think we mentioned that you do dogs as well, and in the past have done cats or pigs. What kind of work would you do? I mean, is it always, no matter what the animal, is it always the spine initially?
Absolutely not. No.
So it could be a number of things. Mm-hmm. Whereas a lot of us think, at least in the just overall broad terms,
crack the back, right?
Well, or if not crack the back, the back and the spine are kind of pivotal to what a chiropractor focuses on.
Absolutely. And that's something that, you know, chiropractic adjusts a joint in your body. Your back has vertebrae, which are joints in your body. So therefore you have extremities, which is your, you know, your feet and your knees and stuff like that. So everything, especially with animals, there's a lot more weight up top and their biodynamics and the way that they're running around and twisting and jumping and stuff like that, that shoulders. So like for my senior patients, the hind end, you know, that's usually the first thing for big dogs. It starts becoming a problem. They start getting weaker. Well, guess what? All of a sudden now your shoulders are having to compensate for all this weight and they're pulling themselves. So like eight out of 10 times you have a cat with arthritis or a senior mastiff with arthritis, and their shoulders are going to be what's really bothering them because it's pulling around and compensating for the back end.
We're sort of running a little short on time. I want to get to a couple of other questions I had and a couple of email questions. So one that I thought was interesting that came in is, has Dr. J had a chance to manipulate any racing greyhounds, and does their racing career present any unique challenges for her?
I have not had a chance to adjust any racing greyhounds. I would be open to doing that, obviously, very similar to the athletic horses that I work on.
Yeah.
I can imagine repetitive stress. They usually run one way, so that would definitely be something to look for.
Right. And another question I had, because of what you described early on in your experience, how often when you get a call, and it's the animal part at least is a horse, how often are you indeed treating or adjusting both horse and rider?
I usually start off with a horse, and then they see a change in the horse, and then they buy in for me. That's usually how it works.
Typically, is your baseline saying, I'm happy to help the horse, but in my head, and hopefully you'll come to see the wisdom of it, I should be adjusting you as well?
Absolutely.
And so, without fail, almost regardless of what the situation with the horse is that just your fundamental assumption is that the rider probably needs some adjustment as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I think it's hard for people to understand the wellness of chiropractic because they think of chiropractic as I have back pain, fix it.
Yeah.
And I try to educate all my patients that chiropractic is good for you as a maintenance because it's nourishing those joints. You're keeping them healthy. You don't want to wait until you've had something that's been malpositioned in a certain area for a prolonged period of time. And then all of a sudden you're having to treat an issue. It's better to be preventative and keep you both, you know, have good days.
Sure.
No one wants to get to those bad days. That's
right.
What I tell people. I'm like, I want to come out here when your horse is limping around, your dog's having a bad day. Let's just keep it the day before that and then know that that's kind of his thing, you know, his time, give you some homework, and then we start to space it out.
So one of the things you mentioned, and kind of jokingly, is awareness of the sort of stereotypical perception of the chiropractor, like, hey, we're going to crack your back, whatever. So in your travels and as you're training and then out practicing, what do you find is the perception, that sort of stereotypical semi-joking kind of thing notwithstanding? What do you think people's view tends to be these days of chiropractic?
I think it's getting better.
Okay.
I think that there's a lot more education out there. A lot of more people are seeing the value in wellness. Like I said, people are seeking that out. But you do. You have a perception, and it's, I'm cracking in the back. So, you know, my patients don't say that. We're adjusting a segment that's not moving, and they understand.
Yeah.
And I spend a lot of time, I'm very passionate about what I do with my clients, making them understand what we're doing. And you have two types of patients. You have a type of patient, and I tell them that. I said, what's your goal? If the goal is to get your animal out of immediate pain and that's it, then that's fine. You know, I let them set their goals and what they want to accomplish.
Yeah.
And then if your goal is to slow down degeneration and keep it optimally functioning for later, then that's something we talk about.
And it also sounds like that for some of the animals that you're seeing, especially if like aging is an issue, whatever, that the spine or the back may or may not even be a direct part of your protocol, right? If there's
it usually comes back to that.
Yeah,
I call it spot adjusting. Some people are fans of just adjusting the segment, but most likely, if you're standing in more of your left leg, then your left hip, that, you know, here we go up the chain. It's all connected.
Yeah.
And another thing I tell people is, you know, now we're blessed with all this knowledge of, if you choose to buy a dachshund, what are we going to have? What are dachshunds known for? Let's talk about stereotypes. Back problems.
I think you meant if you choose to adopt a dachshund. Dachshund.
Sorry, what did I say?
Yeah.
Have one?
Buy.
Buy,
yeah,
excuse
yeah,
me.
Right, sorry.
Adopt one.
Now we're a little
if you choose to adopt a dachshund or any breed of dog that, or a majority of the dog breed that you know, then we know what they're predisposed to. So we know that we're headed towards back pain. Great Danes, we're going to have hip issues. I mean, mm-hmm. these are just things we know.
Right.
So I tell people the train's headed there. Let's just try to slow it down a little
bit. Just sort of in our final moment or two here, but let me get to another email question. So this one says, my quote-unquote human chiro worked on my cat 10 years ago. He used a tool, that's also in quotes for some reason, on him. Does she use tools or hands-on?
I have both. It's called an activator. It's really great for animals that are in really severe acute pain, and we kind of have to work into
a manual.
Can you kind
of describe what an activator does or looks like? Because I'm not familiar.
It looks like, it does a little clicking motion.
Is it big or
small?
Or what? Like hand size?
It's hand size.
Okay.
It's a little clicker.
Okay.
You know, I personally prefer my hands because I can feel more. I like that. But there are certain instances where it is a good opportunity to use it for small joints, like some things like rabbits and stuff like that, where your hands are kind of getting in the way sometimes in certain joints.
So how often, rabbits? Is that what you just said?
Mm-hmm.
So how often have you treated rabbits?
I've only had a couple.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm always itching for new things.
And what did someone contact you and say, hey, my rabbit's having this issue? What was the issue in question?
It was actually just for a wellness adjustment. It was just, I heard about you and I think this is great. I get adjusted. I know how great it is. I'd love you to treat my animal.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. No. Okay.
Those are my favorite.
Yeah. Well, no, that sounds cool. Okay. So let's run them down in our last moment or two. So obviously horses, dogs, cats, pigs you'd said.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've said rabbits.
Mm-hmm.
Have there been others in the animal kingdom?
I've got my hands on a couple cows.
And what are they? Yeah. So like, tell me about that.
Breeding animals. It's really great for them. Just to make sure everything's in before you put a bunch of money to see if they'll get pregnant. So it's them aligned. I mean, pregnancy adds, even for other animals, adds a ton of weight to the animal.
Sure.
So you want them in their prime condition before
to
we go and add,
that,
add another cow
right.
to it.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to do two goats later next month. I'll get my hands on them. I'm always up for new and exciting.
Getting my hands on this is taking on a whole new meaning,
I guess.
Yeah. So cool. Okay. Well, gosh, Dr. J, this has been really interesting and informative. We've been speaking with Dr. Jillian Johnson. Again, her practice is called Farmhouse Chiropractic. As we've noted, depending on if you tune in more recently, it's a mobile service. So kind of basically anywhere in the Tampa Bay area that within reason, she could come see you. And you could find out more by going to farmhousechiropractic.com. So Dr. J, thank you so much for joining us today in Talking Animals here in WMNF.
Thank you so much.
All right. In a few moments, I'll speak with Jamie Mantra of Service Learning School, whose Halloween event happens October 20th in Palm Harbor and is a benefit for the Humane Society of Pinellas County. Right now, it's time to step into the Comedy Corner, where we've reached into the vaults for one of our favorite pieces by one of our Talking Animals favorites. This is a piece called Animals by the great Brian Regan. Today's Comedy Corner on Talking Animals.
I lived in New York City for a while before I came out here. My apartment was really small in New York. I had a goldfish and I had to keep him in a shot glass. No, it's okay, a little pebble in there for scenery, so. He liked that. He was like, yeah, this is just like the ocean. I like to watch when he try to turn around there. Filtering system, I take a straw. It's like a jacuzzi room. Oh, yeah. I think people are unfair to their pets, you know? Like putting a pet bird in a cage, that's pretty nice, huh? Get in there, Clank, shut up. I'll be making the decisions. I was wondering what a bird's thinking, standing in a cage. Hey, thank you. Hey, I've been blessed with the gift of flight. Appreciate the environment. I know how to fly, I'm standing on a stack. Hey, I've already read these newspapers. fact, I've whited out some typos. I don't know what animals think. You know? You ever knock over an ant pile? Isn't it amazing that they all start rebuilding it that second? They're just, no, 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 no. They're all running around. You'd think there, you know, there'd be just a minute, you know, where they'd all get upset. And you just knock it over. Oh, man! I don't believe it! Look at this! Even if most of them started working, there'd be a few hanging off to the side going, I ain't doing that again. Standing right there, just gonna knock it over again.
That was Brian Regan. We had a classic piece called Animals, taken from his album simply entitled Live. Duncan Strauss, this is Talking Animals, where on WMNF we just finished our fall fun drive. The finale ended just before Talking Animals began. So I'd like to thank a couple more people, including an anonymous donor from Bradenton with a nice donation, getting the WMNF koozie. So thank you, Anonymous. And also Chris Leach from Bradenton with a nice $100 pledge and getting the Bobby Hicks CD set. So thank you, one and all, for all your donations over the past week or so. We're just gratified that we reached our goal and obviously still getting some donations as we speak. So that's awesome. Now, on to my conversation with Jamie Monfra about a Halloween event coming up that will benefit the Humane Society of Pinellas County. So let's welcome Jamie Monfra to Talking Animals. Good morning, Jamie.
Good morning, Duncan. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on Talking Animals. So let's first talk just for a minute or so about service learning micro school. So and then we'll go from there about why else we're talking today.
Absolutely. So service learning micro school is a Florida licensed private school, and we operate out of Palm Harbor. And this idea of a micro school is to keep the school student base in so that we can stay very active in the community.
Wow.
So it's a growing movement. Our particular micro school, as I said, is a state-approved private school, and it's mostly middle and high schoolers. And as a service school, the service learning projects that we do and community involvement is paramount in our education. So we actually structure the academics hand-in-hand with our service projects.
That's really cool. I love the idea of fostering that sense of community involvement, public service, et cetera, really early on.
Yes.
So what are some, let's get to, maybe we can cite a few other examples, and then let's get to the event that's coming up on the 20th.
Absolutely. So one other example of something that we're currently involved in is Palm Harbor University High School. Their medical education department has a glam run annually, and our school was chosen as the youth volunteers for that run. So our students, 18 of our students, middle school and high schoolers, will be leading the pre-run stretches for 400-plus participants in that fundraiser.
Wow.
To benefit the medical education department. But we have also networked with Relay for Life and Barnes & Noble's Metropolitan Ministries, any organization that could use youth volunteers we like to partner with. And Humane Society is one example of someone we have an ongoing connection with.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about the Halloween-related event that's coming up on the 20th that you kind of helped organize to help raise funds, really, for the Humane Society of Pinellas.
I would love to, and it's really a testament of the name that these kids have made for themselves in the area. Last year, I was contacted by Lucy at the Humane Society of Pinellas, and she sent me an email asking if my students could organize a pet food drive to benefit their Senior Pet Connection program. And what that is for homebound seniors, it's difficult for them to get out sometimes and get the pet food or, you know, litter or ancillary items that they need for their pets. So Humane Society collects donations and then delivers those to the seniors. So I took the idea to my students, and they had this wonderful idea for an event where we would provide on our acre of land kind of like a trunk or treat type of thing. We had music, and we set up a haunted house and, had candy to hand out. And instead of charging a fee for that family event, we asked for donations to the Humane Society, and we collected well over 100 items of bags of pet food, dog food, cat food, and litter, and then delivered it to the Humane Society. And the learning portion of that was that the students got to go to the Humane Society and read to the cast, and we got a tour. So once again, she contacted me this year to see if we could repeat that. That event was so successful. So
that's great.
We were happy to do so. Yeah, we were very excited.
So let's run down the specifics, Jamie, on the forthcoming one. So it's October 20th, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct.
And run down the time and location, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Absolutely. So it's on Friday, October 20th from 6:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the location is 1109 Belcher Road, Palm Harbor, Florida, 34683.
And so what could folks who would decide, hey, maybe I'll go check that out, what would they expect to see
Absolutely.
Or enjoy then?
Sure. So they would, if you pull up to check out the event, you'll see a two-story yellow house. It's a large yellow house that we use. The bottom floor is community center space, and then there's 1 acre of land behind it. So if folks would like to get involved and not attend the event, they're welcome to just drop off donations on the porch, and we'll move those inside to keep them safe. That's one way to get involved. But if any families or anyone in the community would like to attend the event, you could come at 6:30 and you'll find on our acre of land that the students have worked very hard at setting up scare stations and a haunted house and plenty of candy and some music and dance space in our courtyard. So yeah,
that's great. Yeah, so is there a Facebook page for this or website if people wanted to find out a bit more and just double check the details that you mentioned?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So on Facebook, we do have a Facebook page. We're also on Twitter. And the Facebook page is Service Learning Micro School. And on Twitter, we are SLS Palm Harbor.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and then we do have a website as well. It's www.servicelearningschool.org because we are also a nonprofit, 501c3.
That's great. Well, this sounds really wonderful. And again, I love the premise of the school to begin with. And I love this event that's going to help out the Humane Society of Pinellas. So thank you so much for joining us today and filling us in. And good luck on the 20th.
Thank you, too, Duncan. We really appreciate this opportunity. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Coming up at 11 on WMNF, it's Rob Lori and Radioactivity, kicking off a three-hour block of interviews, phone calls, news, and more, including in the noon hour, Midpoint with Nola Lele. Then at 1 p.m., Craig Kopp and John Gilmore preside over executive session. Meanwhile, on this show, as the prize for Name That Animal tune, I'll be offering a Talking Animals t-shirt. Right now, let's do just a little, if we can, animal news and announcements, including Fur Day the 13th benefit. Speaking of benefits, that's coming up this Friday, October 13th, from 5:30 to 8 p.m. at Painted Fish Gallery in Oak Tree Park on the Pinellas Trail. So all cat and dog lovers are invited to check it out. There'll be dogs and cats to admire. There'll be animal art to purchase. There'll be refreshments. There'll be all kinds of other things. Go to www.paintedfishgallery.com for more information, or you can call 727-734-5060 for more on that. And want to mention that coming up down the road is something that we usually talk about, and we will certainly in some coming shows, but we've got Stride for Strays coming up October 22nd. That's the Animal Coalition of Tampa's big event, and that's happening again the 22nd at Perry Harvey Senior Park and from 9:30 to 2. And then as far as other big events like that, I want to be sure to mention the 8th Annual Tampa Bay Veg Fest is coming up November 4th at Cotonchobe Fort Brooke Park. That, I think, runs most of the day. I don't have the time in front of me at the moment, but I think from like 10 to 5 or thereabouts, and all kinds of great lectures and cooking demonstrations and great food and vendors and other events. So those are all coming up at VegFest. So, I'm Duncan Strasser. You're listening to Talking Animals, where the show website is talkinganimals.net. Time to proceed to Name That Animal tune. This is a giveaway. Please only participate if you haven't won something from WNF in the last 90 days. There'll be a prize, a Talking Animals t-shirt, to the first person who calls 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this animal song. It's Name That Animal tune on Talking Animals.
Nashville cats play clean as country water. Nashville cats play wild as Mountain Dew. Nashville cats been playing since they's babies. Nashville cats.
All right, if you happen to be able to name that animal tune, we'll probably take your guess off the air, because we have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals on WNF Tampa. Rob Lori is up next with Radioactivity, and I think he'll actually be airing Democracy Now! From earlier in this morning when we were having our finale, so be sure to tune in for that and stay tuned, of course. And meanwhile, visit TalkingAnimals.net for archives of every show we've ever done and links to our Facebook page, our Twitter feed, and more. And again, thanks for all your great donations, not just, of course, to Talking Animals, but to WMF. Again, we're so elated to have done so well with all your just broad, generous support. So thank you, thank you, thank you for that. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. This is Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa, Brandon, Clearwater, Largo, Weekiwachi, and beyond. Community conscious radio, homegrown, handpicked music and news. NPR News headlines next.